Hey, everybody. Cal here with Birdies and Bourbon. Stick around. At the end of this show, we had a great time talking with a golfing professional, Hunter Howell, and his journey through his professional golfing career. If you don't want to listen to what's in the front of this, just zoom right along and get to Hunter Howell. Do you enjoy a tipple? Maybe mid-afternoon? Maybe on the course? Maybe early morning? If you do, and you don't want to lug the bottle around with you, and you're looking for the perfect vessel to tote around your finest beverage of choice, head over to ragproper.com. That's ragproper.com for the original modern glass flask. I'm sure you all are familiar drinking out of the old metal, stainless, metallic. It's just not good. It's not good for the booze. Head over to ragproper.com. Get yourself a modern glass flask. And tell them Birdies and Bourbon sent you. Are you looking for a special gift for that someone? For maybe just some random occasion? Go check out slabcigarclub.com. Their mission is to curate an unparalleled monthly experience, delivering cigars to aficionados and beginners alike. If you appreciate a good smoke, or you know somebody that does, be sure to go and check out slabcigarclub.com. Tell them you heard about it on the Birdies and Bourbon Show.
Make more birdies.
A bottle of bourbon, a little glass, and some ice.
This is not a tip. This is a prescription. Trust me. If you don't, you will fall out of bounds.
Welcome to Birdies and Bourbon. Sit down and have a sip.
Welcome back to the Birdies and Bourbon Show. Dan, I guess I should have done that in Spanish.
Yeah, hola.
Bienvenidos a Birdies and Bourbon.
Heck yeah.
Congratulations to one Camila Vijaykas, bringing home the bacon, baby. Guess who's not losing their scorecard, their tour card, scorecard. God, this is going to be good. Holy. I mean, really, you want to know what's got me all riled up? We'll talk about it in a second. We're going to talk TGL. Specifically, we're going to talk Team Atlanta Drive. We'll get into the Sea Island Mafia. We'll talk a little about what's going on down in South Georgia a little later on. But congratulations. I mean, I feel like the season's coming to an end.
Yeah, it is.
Camilo had one shot, pulls it off. And it's been several weeks since I've been excited happy
good
to congratulate a guy for a tournament win. I mean, finally we get somebody that's not a D-bag that wins deserves one. Jeez. Deserves one.
Off the top rope.
Deserves one. By the way, I think there's wrestling at Dos Barbecue coming up in a few weeks. So be sure, if you're in the Atlanta area, come check it out.
Nice. Nice.
Dirty South Wrestling, I think. Deep South. Yeah, not
Deep
Dirty.
South.
Deep South Wrestling. Deep South. But congrats. Congrats, Camilo.
Yeah.
Good victory.
Great victory.
I love the shoes, too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. And he had, had a good cause he was playing for, it was fantastic. It was good to see. Hey, like you said, finally we got somebody that we can get behind,
Notice for those of you that are just listening to the podcast, there's nothing wrong with just listening, by the way. You can also, if you want to see what we look like, if you want to see how popped my collar is, you can head on over to the old YouTube and you can check that out. Pop the collar, in memory of Camilo Vijaykas and his victory as we close out the long fucking season of the PGA Tour. Holy shit. I hope we don't ever do this again. If we've learned one thing, Dan, it's like we don't need to last the whole time.
Yeah, it's going to happen again.
Let's get this over with. Let's get it over with.
It's going to happen again next year.
All right. Before we get to the Sea Island Mafia and the RSM Classic at Sea Island Plantation. Can they call it Plantation anymore, by the way?
I don't know.
They still call it that, but I'm surprised that where there's not a picket line out there. That's a little racy. I'm surprised that's still in the title.
Yeah, I am too.
So Breaking news.
Breaking news.
You heard it here first. And no, we're not sponsored by Sweetens Cove or Johnny O or any of that. We just wear the gear. We like the folks there. Good folks. You heard it here first, Dan. Breaking news. A TGL.
Yes.
Technology Golf League. They've announced a team, by the way.
A team.
They've announced two teams as far as I can tell. They've announced two teams. So the first team,
it's the Froggers.
Pretty good. Yeah, the Frog. I mean, God, there's this chick at Magic City. She does this move called the Frogger. Boy, that's a doozy. That's a doozy.
Oh boy.
I think her name is Cherry too. By the way.
Oh boy.
I'm not saying you know who Cherry is, but allegedly Cherry has this move called the Frogger. Just saying. She may or may not have been at the pad.
Oh boy.
So there's a team that gets announced. The Boston, whatever the hell it is, Boston Common Golf or some shit like that. And I'm like, oh, well, that respectable squad right there.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I mean, you know, the Irish ties into Boston. I mean, you get one Rory McIlroy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. You get one Keegan. I got discs from the Ryder Cup, Bradley.
Yep.
I'm not really sure how Tyrrell Hatton made his way in there. He is not Irish. I guess he lives closer to Ireland than Adam Scott does. But they had to have somebody good looking on this. Because, I mean, the first three guys, they're not attractive.
Adam Scott?
No. I'm saying Tyrrell Hatton.
No, okay.
Not cute. Not cute.
No.
If I were looking for a dude to go on a date with, Tyrrell Hatton would not be on my list. I mean, he'd be on my list of some domestic violence, probably domestic abuse, but he would not be on my list. Keegan Bradley, not cute. That now his uncle-in-law is Carlton Fisk, but noteworthy, but not attractive. Rory McIlroy, I mean, I guess he's better looking than he was like 20 years ago, but also not cute. And then you got that sweet talking Aussie, Adam Scott. Loved it. I'm like, I can't wait for the Atlanta Drive Golf Club to announce their team. I mean, I'm thinking this is going to be, it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot, Dan. It's going to be real hot.
It's going to be hot.
And let me throw a few names out at you that could have been options.
Okay.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Let's see. What about the kids? Kevin freaking Kisner. I mean, he lives like an hour and a half away. He doesn't even. Now, granted, they're not going to be playing in Atlanta. They're going to be playing in South Florida. So I don't even know. Like, why do you need a team? What's the Atlanta Falcons? I mean, they've got away games, but they got home games. How do you get a home game in South freaking Florida? You don't. Okay. You don't. Kevin Kisner could have been an option.
Yep. Could have been. That's a good option. Ooh. Brian Harman.
Great. I mean, that's an anchor of the team right there, right? Yep. You charismatic, got some color about it. I mean, great dude. Great option. Not Atlanta tied. He's really the only guy that's got any, as far as allegedly, the only guy that has any Atlanta ties. Now, the other gentleman, which he did make the team, and I'm kind of happy about this. I can't believe he's playing with these other D-bags, though, is Lucas Glover.
Yeah.
Now, Lucas Glover, I believe he's a South Carolina native, went to Clemson. And by the way, his grandfather is a Hall of Famer at Clemson. So is Lucas Glover. The only grandson, grandfather, duo elected into a collegiate Hall of Fame. Look it up. Fact check it. We're bringing you facts here, Dan.
Wow.
We bring the people the facts. We bring them the truth. Mm. Nothing but the truth. We're not professional, but we bring them the truth.
Yeah.
Wyndham Clark. I would have loved to have seen Wyndham Clark. I mean, didn't he look like a natural at Eastlake? Didn't he look like he fit right into the Atlanta vibe? The Atlanta scene.
100%. What about Kuchar?
Well, he wasn't an option.
He wasn't on an option.
But I like he's not part of the squad here, as far as I see.
But he lives in Atlanta, right? So he could have been a guy. Any of those guys could've from Georgia Tech could have been.
Could have been a guy. What about Stuart Sink?
There you go. What about Sanjay?
Stuart Stink.
Sanjay.
What about Stuart Stink? Sanjay. Sanjay. How about Sanjay? For crying out loud. Oh, no. No, no, no. No, not an option. Not an option. Let me tell you. Have I told you who we got yet?
What about Charles Barkley?
Haney has got his swing ironed out, too. It's great. It's great. We saw him. How many matches has he been on?
Tons.
No, good on the
camera.
That's not what.
You want ratings? We're making the team captain.
Why else would we do this? No. We didn't get any of those guys, Dan.
I know.
We got none of them.
None of them.
I mean, what? Matty Ice. What? What about John freaking Smoltz?
John Smoltz, good one.
John freaking Smoltz, man. I mean, he's played on plenty of champions tours. When I say plenty, I mean, well, we saw him at one at least. I don't. Maybe he made the cut. Maybe he didn't. I think everybody makes a cut, but nevertheless. This is indoors. It's inside.
Yeah.
I mean, the warm weather would be great for old man Smoltz.
It's a good point.
It'd be great for him. Mm-hmm. It'd be great. Oh, no. But let me tell you who we got. You want me to start with, like, how do you want me to run this off? I'll start with the captain.
Yeah, give me the captain.
Captain D-Bag. From Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, it couldn't have been a worse fucking option. From Kentucky, from Louisville. He went to Alabama. Do you know? I'm not a Georgia Bulldog fan, by the way. Never have, never will be. One of the happiest days of my year is anytime I can show up on a Monday on the pod and Georgia didn't win a football game. Because they are some sore-ass losers, just like the captain of Atlanta Drive.
Exactly.
Justin freaking Thomas. Mm-hmm. Cry baby. Oh, my God. I mean, they may get, you know how Eric Cole's probably, well, not probably, you know how Eric Cole's going to win Rookie of the Year for the PGA Tour?
Yeah.
Atlanta Drive Golf Club is going to win suckiest, crybabiest, D-bagginest team of the TGL. They're gonna get a, they're it. It's a, what do they call it at the Grammys when you sweep? It's a sweep. They're gonna sweep everything in the I suck category, sweeping it all. Okay, now hold on. Now the one guy that I will say, and I hate to even talk about these folks this way because, I mean, there's a guy on the team, Lucas Glover, major champion. Lucas Glover, he does not even belong in the same ballpark as these other three guys. the other guy. Hey, guess what, boy? He played. He loved him some Georgia golf. Patrick freaking Cantlay. I can't swing the freaking club fast enough, Cantlay.
Yeah.
And they're giving him a freaking Falcons jersey. Matt Ryan does not. He sucked as a Falcons quarterback. He lost every freaking game, meaningful game that he needed to get to get the Falcons to the Super Bowl. He sucked it freaking up. Guess what? They gave him a Falcons jersey. It didn't say Matty Ice on it. It said Patty Ice. They ought to make him play in that jersey because he's going to suck just as bad as the Atlanta Falcons do. By the way, I'm a Falcons fan. It's hard to say. But he's going to suck just as bad as the Atlanta Falcons do. He's going to suck just as bad as Artie Smith does coaching the Atlanta Falcons. That's Patty Ice. Mm-hmm. Lucas Glover. I don't even know. Like, is Lucas Glover secretly like an asshole and we don't know it? I don't think he is.
I don't think he is. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that rumor. We're not starting that rumor.
No. No, I'm not starting it. I'm just wondering. I mean, how could you get placed on a shittier team? guess who rounds out this foursome?
You tell me. Billy Horschel.
God almighty. I mean, talk about, I think he lost his PGA card, didn't he? Maybe he has to win this week at the RSM Classic to keep it. I mean, I haven't seen Billy Horschel play a PGA round of golf, and I don't know, but he's over playing the DP Tour, the DP. I don't know what he's doing, but oh my God. Can you imagine? I guess strategically, maybe they said, we're going to put the most frustrating golfers on a team, and we're going to intimidate them. It'd be like, oh, shit, I'll go ahead and forfeit because we ain't going to be able to Patty Ice. I mean, how dumb is that? He ain't going to get out of the way. Billy Horschel's going to be over here toe-tapping, trying to line up a putt, and JT's going to be belly aching and moaning in the back, crying the blues about the artificial turf wasn't just right, Dad. I mean, it's horrible, Dad. Horrible.
Horrible.
Horrible. I can't believe this. God almighty. Give me Lucas Glover. Give me Kiz. You get plenty of other options. Plenty.
Brian Harman.
Well, Brian Harman, he wasn't an option.
Why wasn't he an option?
Well, he's not a player. He didn't sign up for it.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if these people got voluntold or, you know what? It probably is. These are probably people that have no chance of going to live. That's probably what it is.
I mean, Rahm, we talked about that last week. Well, Rahm was committed and then he backed out, right? Maybe he was going to be on the Atlanta team and didn't like it.
Ooh. Well, I mean, no, if they said, hey, Danny boy, look at this squad I got lined up for. Let's just say Lucas Glover isn't on the team. Because, I mean, he's old as shit anyway. So we like Lucas Glover. Big fans. Yeah, big fans. Yeah. Two-time winner on the PGA Tour this year. Big fans of the glove. But let's just say that they're coming to Danny boy. And Dan, man, have we got a team for you. We want you to represent the TGL for Team Atlanta Drive Golf Club. And in your mind's eye, you're thinking, wow, what an opportunity.
What an opportunity.
Yeah, what an opportunity to hate your life. Well, you're going to get to play with the likes of Patty Ice and Billy D-Bag Horschel and JT. No, not Justin Timberlake. Justin Crybaby Thomas.
You mean JT Poston, my buddy? No, not that one.
No, not that one. Not the cool guy. Not the cool JT. No. You get to play with a real peach.
You do bring up a couple good points, right? And no, but the team itself.
Only a couple.
Three and a half minutes there. All that stuff's valid. That's not my point. But did you see like the DP World Tour? Are those guys playing over there this week? Like, why aren't they playing on the PGA Tour?
Well, because the new partnership with the PGA Tour. I think they're trying to.
You saw this, right? I mean, our tournament last week, the field was like weak as could be, right? Like, you know, but in Bermuda. But then you go over to the DP World Tour and you got, Max Homa won it, right? And then you got Justin Thomas, you've got Aaron Rye and Fleetwood. You know, all these guys are over there playing. Why aren't they playing over here?
They're spreading some love to the DP Tour. I don't know. And they're trying to let somebody keep their tour card.
It's true. Yeah.
I'm sure they got paid. We should have asked Hunter that question, by the way. That would have been a good ask for a boy Hunter.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Enough about this this TGL golf. I mean, God. Ugh. Good Lord. Horrible. Horrible. I tell you. Horrible. Can't believe they've done this to us. Way to go, Artie. Arthur Blank he's doing as good of a job as Arthur Smith is at this this picking. Another shitty sports team in Atlanta. It's exactly what we need, Dan. Exactly.
I know.
All right. Are we ready to head to Sea Island and make a pick or two this week?
We are.
All right. Well, let's head over to our friends at fantasynational.com and look at the last 24 rounds and see where we're going to wind up for the RSM Classic that's played on St. Simon's Island, Georgia. They'll be playing the Seaside and Plantation course. Short course, man. So we're looking both courses under 7,200 yards, closer to 7,000. This is a ball striker's paradise, Dan. Sea Island Mafia reigns. They rain down hard on this place. Not a long ball hitter's spot. Just so you know, some of the winners, first or seconds. Brian Harmon came in second here. Kevin Kisner's won here. He's also came in second. Webb Simpson. He's had a runner-up finish here. Look at this. Look at this. Billy Horschel, runner-up finish. It's going to be interesting to see if Camilo, if he shows back up, because he's actually had a pretty good showing here. So it'll be interesting in what happens with this guy. It's weather-wise, it should be pretty comfortable. They could be windy. They're going to play. There's a course rotation. They'll be playing the Seaside course and the Plantation course on Thursday and Friday. And then they'll go back to, they'll finish out on the Seaside course for the weekend. So, so wind is definitely a factor. I don't think it's going to be cold. I think it might be a little crisp in the morning, but not cold.
Mm-hmm.
All right, talk to me. Who we liking?
Well, you get to congratulate Rory on his, another Race to Dubai title.
Well,
he's going to win it this week, is what they're saying, even though he hasn't played it yet. He's clinched it.
What about has he clinched his TGL title? He didn't clinch a D-bag team of the year, that's for sure.
All right, I'm just kidding with you. Where am I going? I mean, you got some guys really priced high here. Are we going with Adam Scott? Let me go over to the sneak peek, which is our favorite view.
Adam Scott isn't even here. Get off of the Bermuda Challenge.
I thought I just did this.
Get to the RSM. No. Rusty. So rusty.
Hold on. There it is.
Horrible. It's like I'm playing cards with my brother's kids over here.
And I did pick Adam Scott last week. There we go. I was filling this out earlier. I don't think that happened to that. Okay.
Fortunately, I picked Camilo Villegas.
Yes, but same thing I was talking about before. I did do all this earlier. Cam Young, Brian Harmon. I mean, obviously, not good enough to be in the TGL.
No. Well. Yeah, good enough at something. Good enough at being a crybaby. Here's where I think we're hit. Here's how I see this going down. I don't think I need anybody in the $10,000 range. I think I'm looking ball strikers here, Dan. Look at ball strikers. I think we can scroll a way, 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 way down. That's what I think we can do.
All right. We haven't seen Brian Harmon since the Tour Championship.
I haven't seen Brian Harmon since the Tour Championship either.
Torrey Tonners or Russell Henley, all of those guys.
You know where I'm starting though, and we have seen him, and he's had a pretty good showing here. I want to say, at $9,300, he was T21 here last year. Brian Harmon, by the way, T2 here last year. JT Poston maybe he may make the cut. Let's see who looks good.
I do like Poston.
At the last 24 rounds. We're going all across the board here. I like Poston. You know who else I like? I think Callum Tarran is going to be an interesting play. Let's see what's Callum Tarran done for me lately. He ain't done much. Best showing of the fall here is. Is seventh at Fortnite. I don't know if I can get there. I want to get there, but I don't know if I can. I do like Poston though. That could be a lean.
Yeah.
You know who else is gonna? I like Denny McCarthy at $8,700. That could be a take for me right there. Give me some DM. Who else are we liking? I think Doug Gim maybe a play at 7,400. Who's standing out to you? Who are you looking at? And you're just greasy over. You're salivating over these guys.
I think Poston. Poston's right number one, so obviously you can't ignore that.
Let's do a lineup while we're going.
Oh, let's do a lineup while we're going. Okay.
What's Poston's ownership?
18.
No, it's fine. No Camilo Villegas, but all right, Poston. He's in at 18.
All right, hold on. All right. And we won. We won money last week. Yep.
Making it rain, yo.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's see.
Would you have to charge? What are you charging your phone? What are you doing over there?
Well, I'm going to the next guy. I didn't have it pulled up like you. We didn't know we were going straight into it. Cooch. I like Cooch
too. I think Cooch is that's a weekend tripper right there, buddy. Yep. That so far we've got two people heading into the weekend.
Yeah, and Cooch is model ranked 79 because he hasn't been playing well. But you got T2 at Worldwide, then you got T7 at Fortinet. So I mean, yeah.
No, don't go reading too much into this thing. I like Cooch is going to be a good play. Yeah, I don't like the $8,900, but he did miss a cut here last year. But
so do we need to go further down into the 7,000s now, or do you want to go Denny McCarthy?
Well, so here's my thing. So we're at 7,950.
Yeah,
Denny McCarthy. Yeah. He has it. You know who I really like here
Todd
is yeah, I know. What's his ownership?
12.
Yeah, for yeah, sure.
Go for it.
That's a play. Right. So the other thing to keep in mind. So you know, so usually
this is,
we
is this the point where we actually add Billy Horschel so that you can watch him all weekend?
Jesus Christ! Billy Horschel, holy shit! I don't want to see him on the golf course. Much like, can you imagine him in the sim room, like hitting? Oh my God, it's going to be so painful. That may be the damnation of TGL is having Billy Horschel involved in this thing.
That's
horrible,
good point.
Freaking horrible. All right, so we got to get down in the 7,000s here. Let's see. Where do I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you. Do we like him? Do we like him at 7,900? I don't know if I don't like him at 7,900. I can't get there. Who else is down here that... what about Weber? What's Weber's ownership at $7,200?
Get on down there. Let's see. Webb is at 5.6.
Well, of course. I didn't mean let's. We're rolling those old heads out, boy.
Okay.
Kuchar and. Webb Simpson, old heads, I tell you.
Old heads.
What about the Woo? You know, Doug Gim, I think, looks pretty interesting here. Look, putting looks fantastic. I think Gimmer is a T40, T18, T65. Decent enough. I think Doug Gim at $7,400 might be, I think it might be a money shot. He's not injured, is he? Is Doug Gim hurt?
He missed the cut.
I'm not talking about his pride.
He missed the cut at Butterfield, but I'm good for it.
Well, we was 15th at WWT.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think I can stay on some GIM action here. I want Eric Cole so bad in the lineup. Not in the dirty little way you were thinking. Stop it, Dan.
He's 9,000. So if we have to dump somebody if we get him.
I know.
You want to try that? You want to throw him in there and come back?
Yeah. Well, hold on. Do you think Zach Johnson's still licking his wounds?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't even think he. No. I don't think so. He should be.
What's Kiz? Is Kiz like 1,000,000% owned? Where's he rank at in the percentiles?
6,800.
Yeah. What's his ownership?
There he is. 6.1. We can go that.
I mean,
yeah. All right.
Yeah, he's probably pissed. All these old heads. You
want to upgrade anybody? Because we got now. You can go get your buddy.
Yeah, I do. Who are we getting? Let's Gim? See. Does that get us there?
We get rid of Gim?
Ooh, no, but if we drop Simpson, we can go to Cole.
Okay. Boom. Done.
I like that. Do you like that?
I like it.
I like it too. All right. It's a lock.
All right. One and done.
Who you got?
Let me see.
I think I got to cheat and go put mine back in. I think I,
yeah, that's fine.
Forgot I to it or something.
I'm going
to
go.
By the way, if you want to know who I picked, you can go back and listen to last week's podcast. You can just fast forward all the way through to the end. You don't even have to listen to the whole freaking thing.
I'm going posting.
Son of a bitch.
Yep.
So that's where I'm. That's, yeah,
I'll go somebody else.
No. I insist. You already said it, so you stay with it.
Card played.
Can't pick it back up, boy. Let's see here. Make my picks. Wyndham Clark isn't playing. He's not in the field, is he?
No, I didn't see him.
Yeah, he's on here. He's in this run your pool shit, but he I don't see. I got no. Jason Day. What are we talking about here? What am I? RSM Classic. Yeah, it's got Wyndham Clark, Jason Day, Sepp Straka. I mean, this is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Where am I heading? God, would it be? Is it?
Yeah, a bunch of guys in there.
I'm going Ludwig.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Give me Ludwig. Wait, hold on. Is he playing? I thought he was playing.
He was at the top of the list.
I haven't picked him yet, have I?
I don't think so.
Oh no. Okay. I see. How about? Yeah. I select him. I've been drinking, for crying out loud. Give me a break. All right. So I'm locked in. What else we got?
So Phil,
I know we got our buddy Hunter Howe coming up after this, so should be a good listen. I'd stick around.
Absolutely, it should be. So we got Phil mouthing off about how now they're saying the new league, once it's finalized, they're going to give owners stakes in the new entity, and he's like, "Oh, looky there."
Oh, he liked that, did he?
No, he's
just getting like, a little piece of the action.
Oh,
huh?
How this has changed since 2021, huh, Jay?
Oh. Is he still a commissioner, by the way? I haven't heard a peep from that guy.
Well, he's heads down on this new league, getting this thing done, ink getting the ink, you know?
No, okay.
Moving the deal.
No, okay.
Yeah, so Phil's been mouthing off. Yeah, a lot of stuff, you know? It's just... crazy times in the world of professional golf.
I'm glad this shit's over. They've killed. I mean, this season, man, they got to put a stop to this. Nobody needs golf year round.
I know. So Max Homa wins the Africa's Major and clinches his first international victory.
Okay.
Did you see the picture I sent you for John Rahm on his birthday?
I did. I think there was Silverleaf.
Yeah, probably, right? So you had J.J. Watt, you had Michael Phelps, John Rahm, and Zach. And who was Zach with the hat on? Did you know who that was? I didn't think I knew who that was. What? I didn't know either. Yeah.
Zach Efron?
I don't think so. I think they. I think they're trying to say it's the quarterback, but I don't see how it is. But yeah.
I think he's the tight end for the Arizona Cardinals. Could be him.
Maybe him. Okay. The Netflix Cup was today. Did you watch any of that?
The who?
The Netflix Cup.
What is that?
Netflix has released its pairings for the first ever live sports event next week, which was 5 days ago. A golf match between F1 drivers and PGA pros at the Wynn Golf in Las Vegas. So,
no, I've been watching it all fucking day. Yeah. Couldn't get my eyes off of it. I barely made it to the podcast. What are you talking about?
So you didn't watch any of this?
I couldn't care
so
less.
Lando Norris and Ricky Fowler, Carlos Sainz and Justin Thomas, Pierre and Colin Morikawa, and Alex and Max Homa. Yeah, I didn't watch
it. Hold on. What's Pierre's last name, by the way?
Gasly.
I know you didn't.
Gasly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were duping me on that one. Just check it.
Yeah.
How much of it did you watch? Glued to the TV?
I was kind of busy today. Yeah, didn't have
I was busy researching TGL and when can I how can I stream TGL?
I was putting all my bets in on the Bermuda Butterfield Classic.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, they got some cleanup work to do. Clean up PGA Tour. Clean up all season PGA Tour.
No, we got some good stuff coming up. So, yeah, we got after this, we got our chat with our friend there. And then next week later on this week, we think maybe we have another one, too. Another guest coming up. They're going to have our Christmas list coming out soon. That's going to be fun.
Oh,
right?
Boy, I hope we have a Christmas list coming up. Well, here's what I would do is for the Christmas list, the first shopping item that I would put on there is a subscription to slabcigar.com.
There you go.
Who doesn't love a good cigar subscription?
Absolutely. I did watch the Heronic on Jenny Fallon. And I thought he did a great job. Great job. He needs to come back on the show and tell us all about it, you know?
Matty Ice, he laid it down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a good time. Right. Yeah.
Did it seem scripted, or was it just kind of roll off the tongue?
I thought it was very genuine. Ooh. Everything Matt does is very genuine. And
I'm a fan. Huge fan.
So is Jimmy, apparently. Yeah. So.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew? Who knew? It was a great time. Tell the story about how he got started with the magazine, W.M. Brown, and all that kind of stuff. So just like he's done here, and looking forward to having him back on. Is it Man in the Kitchen? Looks like a cool book. It does.
It does look like a cool number two Christmas shopping list or your holiday shopping list. Yeah. Whatever you might celebrate that you want to go waste some of your hard-earned money on to show someone that you kind of give a shit.
Exactly.
Man in his kitchen, man in his watch, man in his car. I mean, dude, a man in everything. I mean, that's a man's man right there.
Yeah.
If Ernest Hemingway were to be reborn in, I don't know, what do you think Heronic is? Like a 1974 model?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be Matt Heronic.
Yeah. Exactly.
It definitely would be. Man's man.
Man's man.
All right.
Well, is it bourbon season for you? Have you gotten any good allocations lately? Isn't this a time of year, said time of year that
it is allocation season.
Have you been actively out there, or are you stocked up?
Well, I haven't been actively out there yet, but that's going to start this weekend.
Oh,
and I have been, by the way, my friend's bottle shop, if you're in the Atlanta area, 30312, wonderful, wonderful guys. Stop in there and see the folks. Great guys, great selections. They put join their loyalty club. They got some stuff behind the counter. Great folks over there at my friend's bottle shop. So this weekend we'll kind of start the hunt, and then I'll be heading up to Tennessee before too long. So lots of little dives that I swoop into on the way up.
So I was in the mountains this last weekend over in near Franklin.
Were you Cashers?
Yeah, I went up to Highlands. I didn't know they were having a music festival up there, like a wine and music festival.
Well, you're a music man. How do you not know this?
I'm not a big Highlands, goer, but this weekend we wandered on over there on Saturday and they had it going, man.
Was it fancy?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I missed Grace Potter was there on Friday.
That would have been fun.
That would have been fun. Yeah. So we saw, who was it?
Was this in the little downtown area?
Right downtown. Yeah. Yeah. Chuck Lavelle was there on, I think, Friday as well. And then we saw the Harlem Gospel Travelers, and they were dang good.
They were good.
Harlem
Gospel Travelers.
Yeah.
They talk a lot about Jesus.
No, it wasn't like that. It was just solid.
We love the Jesus. Yeah. I was just wondering if they talked a lot about him.
Yeah, but I was kind of disappointed we missed Grace. But
Harlem,
that's cool.
Gospel. So did they talk a lot about basketball?
They didn't talk about anything. It was just kind of saying, and it was a good band. Yeah, and it was a lot of fun. A great day, man. Yeah, I mean, I think the day was probably better on Saturday, but the weather wise, sunny and 55 degrees or whatnot. But I think the music was probably would enjoy the music better on Friday. Sunday with Grace and
Chuck. Is that going to be an annual event?
I don't know, but if it is, I'm going back. It was a wine festival, wow. Wine and music. Yeah.
Well, I would love to get up there. We had to hit up Casher's Golf Club up there. Yeah. I mean, there's a few good courses we could hit up and do some things. I mean,
if you know anybody who wants
to host the pod up in the Highlands in mm-hmm. North Carolina, yep. Leave a comment. Absolutely. By the way, what's your favorite brewery, distillery, place to have a beverage at in Western North Carolina?
Good point.
I'd like to know.
I want to know, too.
We can make a road trip.
Absolutely.
All right. Stick around. Hunter Howell's coming up. And until next time.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. Welcome back to the Birdies and Bourbon Show. We're joined today by a mutual friend of the show actually set this up for us. So Hunter Howell, pro golfer. Hunter, how's it going, man?
It's going well, man. How are you?
It's going just fine. I'm sipping on an old fashioned as we speak. But we're going to talk a little golf, man. Talk about the career. Talk about how you got here. We might have a little bourbon talk at the end. But for folks that don't know who Hunter Howell is, how'd you get here? Why are we on this podcast?
I've been playing golf professionally since 2019. I went to Lipscomb University. It's like a small Division I school in Nashville, Tennessee. It's kind of like why I'm here. Trying to, you know, make it to either the PGA or live, whichever comes first. Just trying to make it on like a big tour. So,
well, awesome. It's interesting to hear you say that. Is it the promotions event that's coming up for Live? Because I know we were trading some messages when you were over in Europe at Q School for the DP Tour. Are you heading over for the promotions event? Is that going to happen for the Live Tour? Because we did just see that the PGA said that, hey, anybody could go and play in the event if they wanted to.
Correct. Right now, my plan is to have like a little bit of an off season. Weight train and like speed train like right now, and just like work on a couple things in my swing that I've had to like kind of put off until now, and then start like tournaments back up like at the first of the year, and then like progressively work my way back up until like the season starts in May.
So what did that look like then when you came off of the so you got back from Europe? Well, I mean, we were messaging like mid-October-ish.
Yeah, I got back, I want to say like the second or third week of September. Just to have like a consistent amount of income, because I'm not playing golf tournaments. I actually caddy at a golf course called Old Memorial down here in Tampa. It's nice to like be around golf and also make money at the same time, because it's a part-time job, but I'm also like working on like course management and building like a client base for like potential sponsors. And on top of that, I'm working on like reading greens consistently all the time. So something that can help me personally.
That's cool.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. What's so if you were to talk about your game, so you said you're going to work on some things as, we'll call it an off season, right? Getting ready to kind of go back out. What did you, when you ended, well, so let me re-ask the question. So turning professional in 2019, right, probably has given you a different outlook or purview of what golf is really like, right, versus me hacking it up at Sweetens over the weekend, you know. Is it season to season? Is something changing that you're working on? Are there fundamentals that you find yourself having to go back to? Is there a long-term goal of, you know, because there's, let's face it, there's a life expectancy, right? And can you play golf forever? If you take care of yourself, yes. Can you play golf competitively forever? That's maybe a different question answered by someone, sure, you know, more professional than myself. But are there kind of short-term goals and then long-term goals that you're working on, you know, as you're progressing through this process?
Absolutely. So kind of like a personal goal for me. So when I went over to England, my club head speed was only like around 116 or yeah, 160 miles an hour. And the goal is to get it back up to like 120 or 122. That way, like for, I don't know, I can have like a more consistency as far as like my drive distance, distance maintaining like a certain length. Because over like a course of a season, like, you know, you're burning so many calories, you're putting all this effort into like tournament play, and you actually like kind of like lose a little bit of weight. I lost about 15 pounds this summer. So trying to like put that weight back on and then add more on top of that. And then constantly work on different things in my game as far as improving my scoring average from year to year, always trying to figure out what consistently shows up in my game this year that I can work on and improve next year. Because I think my scoring average this year was like 70.3 or something like that. So I'm trying to break it down and get better and better each year. That's kind of the idea.
And is club head speed, you said, is that the focus kind of in this off season? Is that the main area of focus, and then kind of drilling down through the priorities?
For me right now, yes. Do you know what the stack weight system, like speed training system, is? So I just got that, and then I also got a Mevo Plus. So I've been kind of like using both hand in hand. And trying to dial in how I can get faster, how I can generate more speed, how I can like use the ground to like generate power and use it to my advantage. Just because the closer you are to the hole, the more opportunities you have of, you know, making birdie and taking advantage of those opportunities. So,
yeah. And who you, like, coach wise, are you working with the same coach regularly? You got a few folks you're working with. What does that look like?
So I have like a mental coach. His name's Garrett Thomas. He is more like a friend, but someone like I look to as far as like, how like I not just like approach golf, but like how I approach, stuff outside of golf and how I like, focus on it and, kind of like segment it or, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Compartmentalize, right?
Yeah.
Move through the process. Yeah.
And then as far as like swing coach, I have a couple friends, Bracken Turner's, the assistant pro at TPC Tampa. He helps me from time to time. And then also there's a guy in Orlando that I've seen once or twice that he kind of helps me a little bit too. So, yeah. And then Ryan, just talking to him, he's a real knowledgeable guy as far as golf. He's kind of like a golf junkie. Yeah, just picking people's brains about like different ideas and then trying to figure out what I like and like what's best for my game, because what's best for someone else might not be, you know, good for me. So,
sure. Yeah. So when you're setting up, and I took a look at your website, I mean, you posted some stuff schedule wise and kind of what's happening and what's going on there. I mean, what does that look like? And, you know, you kind of mentioned, right, how do you support yourself through the process of getting to the tour, right? Where you're gonna make some money. I guess what's that? And again, compartmentalizing from a mental side, like how are you keep things in check, right? To just so you're staying positive and kind of moving on those roads. I mean, is that as much of a challenge as, I mean, from a skill set wise that you have, is that as big of a challenge as getting out there and physically hitting the golf ball?
It is. So like for me, like anything that like I spend, I have like an Excel like document on my phone, and I keep track of like all my expenses, and like they're segmented into like different categories as far as like food, gas, car maintenance, hotels, flights. Everything is like broken up in different things like that. And then as far as like maintaining like income, like through like the off season, that's why like I caddy. So like I can save up enough money to go play on these different tours. And I actually just got like an investor to help me out for like when I go back over there next year. So that'll definitely help. But if I didn't have that, then, you know, I would still continue to work as much as I can. Because last year, before I went over to England, I was working every single day up until like the day that I left. It was tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't leave a lot of time for you to kind of hone the skill, right, and get ready mentally and physically, I guess. Because, I mean, you're carrying bags, right? So, I mean, you talk about the physical output. I mean, that's it's got to be a strain in both ways. So when you're caddying, mm-hmm. If you're at a private club, and we'd traded some messages. I think you'd worked at Streamsong before also, right?
Yep, I worked there for about 3 years and just switched over to Bow Memorial.
Okay, and I mentioned Rabbit. You said Rabbit's a hell of a caddy, hey?
He is.
Yeah, he carried my bag around there. He was probably like, shit, man, you ought to carry the bag for me as bad as you're playing. So Old Memorial, I'm sure it's, I don't know, but it's a private club.
Yes.
And does everybody know who you are and kind of what's happening and the golfer that you are and where you're trying to get to?
I think it's the word's starting to get out. I've only been there, I want to say, what's today's date? Seventh. I've only been there about 3, maybe almost 4 weeks.
Okay.
So I'm still trying to meet all the members that are there. On top of that, at this place, a lot of members are from out of state. So from what I've been told, after the holidays, more and more members will start coming down for weekends or
for the winter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm sure I'll meet more people and more potential investors might come into the situation. But for now, I'm just kind of caddying and then practicing as much as I can. So.
Yeah, we had who were we? We were talking with, I guess, Dean, right, Dan, that he was at a place in, was it Old Chatham, maybe in North Carolina, that he mm-hmm. where he got hooked up with Redmond over
yep.
there?
Yep, kinda, Old Chatham.
Yeah. So Hunter, is it, so going out there and caddying, right. And, mm-hmm. and you're getting on the bag for somebody and do you think it's more stressful for you or is it more stressful for them? I would venture to say that 8 out of 10 golfers that you carry the bag for, and that may be a low number. You probably could beat on any given day. You don't have to say if you don't want to, but.
No, I mean, it really depends on the group that I caddy for or the guy that I caddy for. Because sometimes I just caddied for, I think his name was Jose Bautista, the old baseball player.
Yeah.
Super cool guy. His whole point for that round was to strike a business deal with other two players. So he wasn't really focused on golf. He just wanted to make sure they had a good time and that he had a good time. So that the pressure was kind of all off me as far as a golf standpoint. It was more of just make sure they enjoy themselves.
Yeah, cool. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But are there ever any times where they, oh, what do you do? And you're like, oh, well, I just got back from mm-hmm. England, Q school. And how does that conversation go?
One of those things that they kind of start the conversation or just where are you from? And they're like, oh, okay, well, how long you been here? And then I say oh, I've been here about a month. And they're like, oh, okay, well, what do you do? What'd you do before that? And I was like, oh, well, I was in England, played golf professionally. This is kind of my side job per se. Sure. And I'm still trying to chase my dream. But in the meantime, it's I want to have a, or an income flow. So that's why I'm out here.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And that goes smooth. I mean, I'm seeing people getting all puckered up and it's now I'm shaking on the tee box and I don't know what's happening. And is there a lot of, are folks, as soon as they know that, is everybody just hey, can you help me do this? Can you help me do that? What am I doing wrong here? I mean, is that kind of the immediate response?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it kind of, sometimes, it's sometimes I'll try to give them advice, if they are struggling with their chipping, move the weight on your lead foot to hit down through the ball to get the ball up. And sometimes they brush it off and then they realize what I do and I don't know, my background on playing professional golf, caddying and for a buddy in a major championship, just different things like that. I have a background coming from golf, so they kind of start to listen and they're like, oh, well, okay, I guess I'll start listening to you now.
So a lot of good golfers are actual caddies, right? And a lot of collegiate players, a lot of things along those lines. Is that, have you ever ventured down that realm, or is that too much of an investment and kind of gets in the way of where you see yourself and where you're heading?
As far as like caddying for someone like full time?
Yeah.
So this actual past year, the head pro at Southern Hills, I don't know if do you know him? His name is John Summers.
I don't think so.
So he played on Corn Ferry for a little bit, played on Latin America, a really good golfer, great guy. But he decided to go like the PGA, I guess PGA route. So like he does like club pro stuff and like North Florida stuff. But he actually made it into the PGA Championship up in New York. And so I caddied for him out in New Mexico for qualifying, and then I caddied for him at the PGA Championship.
That was sweet. How was that?
It was really cool. Quick story. So like he was like in the locker room, like getting his shoes on and whatnot, and I'm sitting like across from like the driving range, about to go over like and meet him over there. But Scotty Scheffler like walks up to me and goes, "Hey man, what's up? How you doing? Like, ready for this week?" And I was like, yeah, just casually the number one player in the world saying what's up to me. That's cool. So yeah, it was a cool experience, but also like realizing that it's like I'm not too far off from them, and neither like was my player John that week, because you know, it's golf, anything can happen. You have four good days in a row and it's like your life's changed forever. So
yeah, right. I mean, look at Rookie of the Year this year. I mean, think about what Wyndham Clark did this year. Think about Lucas Glover and what he did this year. I mean, there's a ton of, I guess he did it 8 days, but not in a row, but 4 days in a row consecutively. So, interesting. Yeah, that's pretty fun. What other significant events in Hunter Howell's golf career are kind of standouts to you? I mean, was anything... however you want to put it, right? I mean, showing up to the major at Oak Hill and being on the bag for a buddy, right? I mean, that's got to be a memorable event. What else is kind of highlights for you?
Not to like brag on myself, I was able to play in a national championship with my team in 2017, so that was pretty cool. Played at Rich Harvest Farms, where they had like a live event. So it was kind of cool, like watching it on TV and then also being like, oh, well, I've played that hole. So that was nice. And then, I've gotten through US Open locals twice. I medaled twice. So that was nice. When they say, the longest day in golf, is US Open sectionals, they're not kidding. Because one of the times that I actually got through, you'd play 18 holes and then drive 10 minutes down the road just to play the second course in the same day. And it's like, it's just a long process. So they're not kidding when they say that.
And everybody that's showing up's pretty damn good at golf, right? I mean, it's not at least the people that are gonna place or win. So
absolutely.
So the NCAA, who was what class did you come out of?
I graduated in 2018. So the year that I went to nationals, I think Braden Thornberry won from Ole Miss.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It was good. Going back to the US Open locals that I was telling you about, the one where I had to drive 10 minutes down the road or whatever. Steve Stricker was actually in that one because it was the one year that he ran an exemption. And he actually got through that that year. So that was pretty cool to see him.
And where'd you play? Where was it?
It was in Memphis. I forget the actual course name, but it was pretty cool.
And when you did that, did you get to select where you play? Did you have to qualify? Was it based on state, or how do you know where you're going to be playing at?
Sure. So like when you first sign up for US Open, you get to like pick preferences, and depending on like how like they fill up, then you get into that site. But as far as making it to sections, if you win, you get to go to like your preferred site. If you come in like a second or like an alternate or whatnot, then you have to go like where like you're shuffled into.
Gotcha.
If that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. And you may be driving a hell of a long way compared to what you wanted to drive, right? Because you're from Franklin, just outside of Nashville. Yeah. Do you ever back up there much?
I am. So my grandma lives in Brentwood. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite course in that? I don't know. I'm gonna call it Southern, even though they're their own place, the Southern Nashville area. What's your favorite course up there?
Nashville Golf and Athletics, a hidden gem. The layout's incredible. It's hard to beat. I mean, you got three par fives in the back. It's a really good one. I would say if you can get out to Golf Club of Tennessee, it's really a great place to play. And then somewhere kind of south of Nashville, I would say probably the Honors, if you ever played there.
It's in Chattanooga. Like Chattanooga?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've not played there, but I've heard great things about it. So
that's good.
It's good. What about in the Tampa, Central Florida area?
So Tampa, I would have to say Southern Hills Plantation is my favorite course. I'm a member there. It kind of gives off vibes of like Georgia golf, where you have like kind of like a clay, like soil base, and you have pine trees, and it's nicknamed So Hilly because you're at 180 feet like above sea level, and it's actually kind of hilly. One of the holes, I think, drops like 100 or 90 feet or something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So for somebody else, right, that's coming on, that's whether, you know, regardless of age, right, but if they're, how do you get to where you are today? I mean, hard work, and you got to have some talent. If you had to reset and you said, here's how I'm going to go through, or you're going to be maybe a coach for someone and you're going to say, hey, I'm going to coach you through and help you get to a position where you can play professional golf. How would do you have is there a process you would go through to do that?
That's hard because I feel like for each person, it's kind of individualized, because everybody's game is different. As far as like, you mean like picking tournaments, and stuff like that, or?
I mean, if we're going to go to school and play, I mean, and when we get out of school, I mean, how are we heading there? I mean, I'm talking from the foundation up. I mean, how do you get to,
I would definitely say, being able to live in a place where you can practice all year round. If you can't do that, then, definitely being able to, come down like in like the winter months to like, say Florida or Tampa or Jupiter or something like that. That way you're always consistently being able to practice and have that opportunity in front of you. As far as like picking, different places to play and, things like that, it's all kind of preference, whether you want to go over to Europe or want to go up to Canada or go up to, or down to Latin America. It's kind of like a one tour now. It's called the Americas. It's really just a preference on what kind of suits your game, because, what I found is when I went over to England, that, you know, English golf kind of suits my game, to where it's like, you kind of like pinpoint like your place, like around like the golf course, instead of trying to hit it as hard as you can and then going to find it and trying to hit it close. So,
okay.
Yeah. That gotcha. Kind of answers your question.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, Dan, I got some fun stuff I want to get into with Hunter about. But you got anything?
What's like one of the most fun games you guys see when you're out there caddying? These guys are playing these days, like, you know, for fun. And
like gambling games?
Yeah.
Yes.
On course. Yeah. On course. Yeah.
Sometimes we play Vegas. If you guys know what that is.
Walk us through it
for the folks that don't.
So Vegas is you kind of like pick like a money denomination, whether that's like $5, you know, it can all the way up to $100. If say mm-hmm. like you want to roll, and everybody tees off, and the two people on the left are teammates, the two people on the right are teammates, and then you just play in, and it's best ball. And then sometimes we play a game called Banker. So like say like the three of us were playing. We would start off saying like the first hole is worth $5 and you guys are both playing me, and we all have individual games. You guys aren't playing each other. Mm-hmm. So say, Cal, you make a birdie on the first hole and I make par. So that, birdie doubles the bet. So instead of winning $5, you win $10.
Okay.
Okay. But say on, off the tee shot that I wanted to double it, the bet would become $10. And then when you teed off, say you wanted to double it again, it would become $20.
Oh.
And then if you made birdie and I made par, it would become a $40 hole and you would win $40.
Nice. So that can get out of hand pretty quick.
Yes. But the cool thing is what's really nice about that game is it makes you focus on the last three holes, because whoever is down the most going into the 16th hole gets to set the bet and like be the banker the rest of the way in. So instead of it starting at $5, say like if they're down $150, they can set it $250 starting, and then it can get really out of hand, or so on and so forth. So it can be fun, but it's kind of like a tournament to where it's kind of your goal is to finish strong, and finish out the round. So it's kind of like good preparation and practice.
Yeah, sounds like fun, man. That's cool. Yeah, thank you for answering that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely too shitty of a golfer to play banker. Well, if I'm playing banker, I've got to play with some folks that really suck at golf. That would be my strategy, I need to be playing with the least best of the crowd if I'm going to have a chance to advance at that one. But I have to remember that. I mean, I'm sure Ryan's going to be listening to this, and he's going to want to play. He's going to play banker. So I don't know. Well, maybe we'll be gambling. We'll bet in cigars or something.
Do you have any favorite rounds you played with certain people or anything like that?
Oh man, it's not as far as gambling, but as far as like a group of guys that I played with. When I was over in England, I played a course named Wallasey. So it's in Liverpool, in England, and it's right against like the coast, like the west coast of England, and it's where they invented like the game Stableford, if you guys have ever heard of that. Just a very cool golf course, just really cool experience, like hanging out with like the guys that I was traveling with. We took like a week off because they canceled one of the events, but it was just a really fun round and one of my favorite courses like to the date.
Oh, that's really cool. I got to mark that one down, Cal. Sounds like that's a memorable place to go play.
Yeah. Indeed it does. Yeah. So let's get into equipment a little bit. Okay. This will be a shameless plug for mutual friend as well. Are we playing? Are you mixed bag? Are you pure a brand through the bag? I mean, what's happening here?
Kind of a mixed bag now. So I just switched from the Stealth TaylorMade Stealth driver. I switched to the Paradigm Callaway, just because just from switching like heads and shafts, my ball speed went up 4 miles an hour. The consistency on misses like were a lot straighter. That definitely helped. I just got some free merch and help out with shafts. So I just switched from steel fiber shafts to my irons. I switched to, they're called MMTs, Mitsubishi makes them. So put them in my bag and absolutely love them. I would say for woods, I have a Titleist 7 wood that I play that I found that I really like. 3 wood, I play TaylorMade Stealth. Wedges, I play Angry Bear. They're like an independent company. But I really like their product. And Ryan actually helped me grind like the grinds. So depending on like how I like I lay the wedge, the bounce is different and I can hit different shots doing different things.
What, Angry Bear, you said?
Yeah.
Angry Bear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're on Instagram.
And who does most of your club work for you?
Chuck. So Chuck at Golf Bench, he puts together all my clubs. He's able to get all the weighting right, swing weights the same, and also the overall like weight of the clubs relatively the same. So it really helps as far as like being like professional golfers, having like your clubs consistently weigh the same. Because what most people don't understand is when you get like a set from either like Dick's Sporting Goods or Golf Galaxy or something like that. A pitching wedge can weigh like a D4, swing weight D4, and a 9-iron can weigh like a D1. And that's a major difference between like the two different clubs. And that makes a huge difference on how like you play the shot or swing the club.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is get fit. It's worth it.
definitely get fit. It makes a lot more difference than you'd think. My dad got fit for a driver, and he's like a 6 handicap, and he got like an upgraded shaft. And I mean, he probably gained 15 yards off the tee, and he's a lot straighter now just because he got fit and got the proper shaft. So definitely get fit.
No, I like it. Where can people find you at? And then I got some really fun stuff they're going to ask you. This is like off the record stuff that people don't want to listen to after the fact. But where can people find you? How can people support you? And let me know. I want to know when I can get on the bag, man. I mean, I can carry your bag for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are more than welcome to come out to Tampa anytime. I'm sure me and Ryan can get you out at Southern Hills and get out and play.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, you can find me on social media. I mean, I think my Instagram's HMHowell95. I also have a website called HunterHowellGolf.com. So you can contact me there. I'm always at Southern Hills practicing typically. So I either have like a loop in the morning and then I'm out there in the afternoon, or I have time in the morning to where I can go practice in the morning and then a loop in the afternoon for the time being. So yeah.
Very cool.
So go check him out. He is in fact at HunterHowellGolf.com. Lots of ways to support Hunter. All right, Hunter. You brought it up at the beginning of the show. I'm going there, man. So Live Golf, PGA Tour Golf, TGL Golf. I don't know. I mean, it's DP World Tour Golf. I mean, the whole golf for the casual. I don't know if I'm a casual fan at this point, but for let's just say for the casual fan, I think golf started out and they had a lot of momentum at especially during the whole COVID thing, right? I mean, I think golf did a fantastic job of really owning a space that needed someone to occupy it.
Sure.
And 2 years later, it really spiraled out of control. This is my opinion, not yours. So, but you did say, hey, Live Golf could be a place for you. What's the consensus? What's your consensus on what's? It's not really what's right or wrong about it, or maybe it is. I don't know. I'll stop. I mean, you know where I'm heading with this, right?
Yeah, I kind of get this question asked a lot, being like a caddy part time, and then also like playing full time too, because you know, our industry or golf industry has changed quite a lot in the past couple of years, as far as like where you can play, what tour you can play on, stuff like that. And I personally think that the more opportunity there is, the better chance you have of getting through. And with Liv like making like a huge noise or upbringing in the past couple of years, that, you know, it's made opportunity for other players to have, you know, a chance to play on the PGA Tour. And then there's been also like opportunities where like Chase Koepka went and go played on Liv for like a couple of years. And I mean, he made like a really good living, whether like, you know, as Brooks, like, you know, was able to get him on there or not, but like he still was able to have the opportunity to play. And so I really like what like the game's kind of turned into. It kind of sucks that, you know, like there's like this backlash of, you know, people going to Live, you know, it's, you know, turning their back on the PGA. I think it's all silly, and I think it'll all eventually like will be solved, and people like will be, you know, okay with each other again, because I know there was bad blood between certain people and whatnot. But like I said, I mean, the more opportunity there is for us players to like get our name out there and, you know, have our opportunity to play, I think the better chance we have.
Yeah, because I mean, before it was like one percenters, right? I mean, if you weren't one of the one percenters, I mean, nobody knew that. I mean, if you talk to a casual dude that's got a Saturday standing $5 Nassau game, he probably couldn't name a single person on the Korn Ferry Tour that and would have no idea. And where was the last Korn Ferry Tour event? Would have no idea. So I think that's a fair assessment. I think there's I don't know what the PG. Well, hold on. Before that, I don't. I went to the Masters this year, right? And the big controversy, first major of the year, 2023, and the big controversy was, you know, but leading up to, well, were they going to get to play? Weren't they going to get to play? Were they going to get to play? Weren't they going to, you know, and Phil's out there, DeChambeau's out. I mean, I didn't see any difference in any of these guys than I had seen at any other tournament prior to Liv being there. I mean, they, you know, high-fiving, hitting balls at each other, you know, smacking ass and laughing and yucking it up out there with, you know, who, however many people watching them. This was, you know, during a practice round, obviously, but there were multiple practice rounds, but there was no animosity. There was no, I'm going to, you know, you're getting the shoulder for me because you did this. I mean, it's, you know, the media is doing a lot for it, but I think, I don't know that they've taken advantage of the everything that's happened. I think they could have used it a little bit better. Now, how could they have used it better? I don't know, but I think that they haven't taken advantage of it. And then leading into what's going to happen in 24, I mean, I think we're still up in the air, right? I mean, we saw Fenway Group made an offer here recently. The folks that own the WWE now, they made an offer recently to kind of buy into the PGA Tour. So everybody's throwing money at this thing, and it's like, well, I don't know what the intent is and what's the. I mean, I know what the intent is. It's to grab a piece of the space, but it's like, do you really want a piece of the space? Or are you getting in because you want to hold on to some of the legacy of what golf is? And it's like, I was watching the Boston Common Golf guys. So it was Keegan, Terrell Hatton, Adam Scott, and McIlroy. And all four guys had a hoodie on, and I'm sitting there thinking, and I'm like, shit, man, how long is it going to be before the quarter zip is no longer allowed at the country club? Like, no quarter zips allowed. You have to wear a hoodie now.
I mean, hoodies are comfortable to play golf in, especially when it's cold and rainy.
I know. I'm with you. Yeah, so you're pro. Well, you're not anti. I don't think you have to be pro Liv, but you're not anti. I'm not anti Liv either. I'm just, I don't know that they've really made a big splash. They made a lot of noise, and I think that they've eroded a lot of what the PGA Tour had. But I don't think the PGA Tour is necessarily taking advantage of. I don't think Liv has taken advantage of it either, because I don't know how much Liv golf. Yet, do you watch a lot of golf in general?
Honestly, not really. I mean, I'll catch like the majors, or like if my favorite player like Tiger Woods is playing. But as far as like sitting down and like watching golf every like Sunday, I'd rather watch football or relax and try to get my mind off of it, because I do love the game, but also at the same time, it is a job.
What's it? Yeah, sure.
So I do have to have like that time away from like the sport to, you know, enjoy life. But yeah, I mean, as far as like Liv and PGA, I think it's a great thing. I mean, I kind of like go like at it and describe it to people as, you know, they basically came to players and offered them, you know, an opportunity to play golf, have all their expenses paid, have guaranteed money. And it's like, why would you not do that? It's like, if you went on a business trip and had to like pay out of your own pocket, like it would suck. And that's pretty much like what golf has been. And it's like, if you're not on like, you know, the PGA Tour now like gives you like a reimbursement or like a set like amount of money to start the season or whatnot. But like before that, it's like everything like that you were spending came out of your pocket. And, you know, people don't realize how expensive golf is when you like break down like the rental cars, the flights, you know, food, I mean, and then on top of that, you still have to be able to enjoy life a little bit. So like going to see like a movie or, you know, life's expensive.
Yeah, just to decompress and or maybe you want a nice glass of bourbon at the bar with dinner, you know.
Yeah, Buffalo Trace or Weller. I just finished a bottle of Weller Antique 107.
So. Oh, nice.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. That's a good one. I picked up a couple of store picks of 107 this year that I've cracked into one of them, and it was pretty good. So.
Nice.
So when you were in England, I know we were trading some messages. Mm-hmm. Anything stand out in the liquor category over there for you?
So I found a bottle of Eagle Rare for £37, and it was just like at like a grocery store, and I was kind of like shocked when I saw it, and I got my buddy Will that I was traveling with over there, and we couldn't believe, one, that you could even find it, and then two, that it was only £37. I don't know exactly what it equated out to U.S. dollars. But I mean,
not as much as what you get it for on the secondary. How about that?
Yes. So just be able to find it. I mean, we had it like after Q school was over and just kind of celebrating the entire like summer and tournaments and whatnot. So it's a good way to end the trip. But yeah, I think we actually got a glass of Four Roses too. So that was nice.
Mm. Nice. Yeah. Dan, what else you got for Hunter? I got a few more things.
The global traveler, man. So what surprised you the most, like, you know, traveling and playing golf? Anything kind of pop out at you as, wow, they didn't expect this, or, you know, I've never played golf overseas yet. So, yeah.
Right. So going over to England, the first, I was there for 2.5 months. The first, I would say, I don't know, 3, maybe 4 weeks. I saw 4 days of sunshine. Other than that, I mean, I know it's like the summer/spring for England over there, that time of year. But I mean, just playing and, you know, winds that like would be consistently, I don't know, 12 to 24 miles an hour gusting up to 30. Mm-hmm. And then we had even one day to where it was blowing literally 45 miles an hour. And it was raining like slightly in your face. So like you kind of like have to know how to like hit the ball low and keep it low. And it's just very different. The grass is different over here. Like in America, the greens are very smooth typically. Like kind of America takes pride in like how fast the greens can be and mm-hmm. good conditions. Where over there, like you have like a lot of poe in the greens. So the ball bounces a lot. You kind of have to like pop the ball in the hole.
Huh.
So it's just very different as far as like a golf aspect. On top of that, you don't necessarily hit driver on every hole. You hit like 3-iron, sometimes 5-iron off a hole. Try to position yourself for like your next shot.
Hmm. Very cool, man. So, yeah, awesome. Yeah.
But with the wind and the rain, I mean, that you got to have some texture to hold the ball on there, or you're kind of screwed, right?
Sure. I think in Q school it was 50 degrees and blowing 22 miles an hour.
That's rough.
I think it like was on and off raining, so Q school was tough.
That's got to send you out with a lot of optimism when you got 15 to 20 mile per hour gusts and you got a little spritz in the face. I mean, that's got to be this is going to be a good day.
Yeah. I think one of the holes I played at Q school, it was, I think the hole was 420 yards, and I typically carry my driver, I don't know, 295 to 305, and I hit my driver full bore into the wind and rain, and I think it went 245, and I'm not gonna do the math right now, but yeah. I had a, like a really long second shot in, and I hit my second shot, came up short, and chipped it up in one putt, and I was like, damn, that was a hard hole. It was like only 420. You know, typically it's like a driver like wedge.
Right.
And I'm over here like hitting like driver like 4-iron into the hole. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell is going on, man. This is crazy.
And you said you like that kind of golf there.
I do. Yeah. Because like the reverse, like what happened, it's like, you know, instead of having, you know, 20 miles in the face, you know, you got 20 miles an hour downwind. So now you can drive a green.
Right.
Or like it's coming in like from off the water, off the ocean. And so you got to hit like a 4-iron to like keep it below the wind. It's cool. I mean, the first tournament I played over there, it was a clutch tour event. Played at a course called Bowood. And there was like junk on the right. There was like a bunker down the left. But if you got past the bunker, it like led to down to the green. and I hit driver down the middle, went like 320 yards because it's pretty firm over there too. Sometimes like at courses, you could even take a golf ball and bounce it off the fairway and come back up to your hand. But just going off that, it's like I'd hit driver like the first shot. I dropped the ball off the tee and hit a 3-iron, and my 3-iron was 10 yards behind my driver because it just rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. It's just it's a different kind of game.
Hold on. Didn't clutch tour, didn't you? What'd you win over there? You won something.
So I won. Yeah, I won a tour at Filford Heath Blue. It's just west of London. Yeah, it was a really cool experience because I didn't have a great first day. I shot 73, was in like 82nd or 83rd place. And then, I was frustrated. I even like changed like shoes. I went back to like the shoe that like I was more comfortable wearing. I went back to like my sick putter that like I'd been familiar with, and shot 64 bogey free the next round, vaulted all the way up to ninth place. And then
needless to say, you kept the same shoes and the same putter in the bag the rest of the
But it was cool. So I shot 66 the final round, got into a playoff. How I was telling you how you kind of hit like 3-iron like everywhere over there. So I was like, well, I'm in the playoff. I have nothing to lose, anything to gain. So I was like, I'll hit driver. Well, I hit it right of the fairway. I'm in between two gorge bushes in a playoff. And I'm like, well, I can't hit it right-handed. So I flipped the club around and hit it right and hit it left-handed.
In the playoff.
I'm in between two gorge bushes. I can send you a picture of it later. I think it's on my Instagram, but... chipped it out, had like 70 yards from out of the rough, hit it to 4 feet, made it. And
that's a ballsy move, Matt. That's real ballsy there, boy. That's
yeah. Well, like I said, it's like I had nothing to lose, anything to gain. It's kind of looked at it because I mean, at that point, I'm trying to win the golf tournament. I'm not trying to, you know, play for second place.
Yeah.
Ironically, I actually started golf left-handed anyway, and my dad's left-handed, so sometimes I'm all even messing around like hitting shots left-handed just for fun.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And is there so what's the caddy situation over there like? Is somebody, you get somebody on the bag regularly, or are you picking up somebody at every course?
So for bigger events, sometimes like I'll have like someone caddy for me, whether that's like a friend that, you know, missed the cut.
Yeah,
will caddy for me on like the last day, or just for like a bigger event, or whether that's a qualifier or for Q school. I'll either hire like one of like the local members. Sometimes you can get like kids to come caddy for you.
Yeah.
Someone that just knows the course, knows like the green complexes, where to hit it, where to like not hit it. And yeah.
Very cool.
Gotcha. Dan, what you got, man? We can close this guy and get him out of here. He's got to work tomorrow.
I think we've covered everything. Yeah, I don't think I have any more questions, but it's been delightful to listen in on everything, though, for sure.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, no, that's been good by me, man. I appreciate it, and looking forward to. We should definitely catch up again, later next year after you've kind of made some ways, and hopefully. We'll be rooting for you to make it on the tour of choice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That you get to. Where's the first place you're heading again?
So I'm going over back over to England start of May, I believe.
Okay.
They come out with their schedule actually, I think either tomorrow or next week.
Gotcha.
I'll have a better idea.
Yeah, and you're going to be in Florida through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, in Tampa.
We got to get connected then, man. So Hunter Howe, tell everybody again how people can find you. How can they help support the cause, man?
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram. It's HM Howell 95 on Instagram, or you can contact me on my website. It's hunterhowellgolf.com.
Yeah. Awesome, buddy. Hey, thanks for taking time to chat with us, and looking forward to sharing a drink and get around it, bud. Cheers.
Absolutely. Great meeting you guys. Thanks a bunch.
All right, you too.